the men. Sorry, that's just the way it was back then. They didn't record all the women and the children. Matter of fact, the scripture says, besides the women and children. So estimates are that there could have been more like 10,000 or even 15,000. You know, it doesn't matter if there was 5,000, 10,000, or 15,000. The Lord still supplied the need. And so that's wonderful. But instead of getting caught up in the multitude, let's remember who the Lord used to supply that need. He used one little boy. It's easy for you and I to get caught up in the feeling that we're not important. We don't matter. We're no big deal. We're insignificant. But Jesus always, I shouldn't say always, often used the supposedly insignificant. And Jesus used the lunch of one boy to reach the multitudes. Jesus' ministry was often to the one. We've talked about the woman at the well and Jesus' ministry to her. We've talked about Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up into the tree. Great Sunday school lesson. Jesus stopped and ministered to him. We've talked about the Gadarene, the demoniac that lived in the tombs, in the graveyard. Jesus took great pains to minister to him. The woman with the issue of blood. All the crowds and the multitudes pressing in on him. But who was healed? The one who reached out and touched the hem of his garment. There were many blind people. But who did Jesus minister to? The one at the pool of Siloam. Or the one on the roadside. Jesus' ministry was often focused on the one. So our challenge this month has been, who is your one? And so this morning, I want to challenge us not only to think about who our one is. And thank you, Nancy, for sharing that, because a part of what I want to cover this morning is this. We need to be asking God for that one, and we need to be looking for that one. And where I want to refer us this morning is, I need to get out of here and get praying for your one. This morning I want to focus on you and I thinking about praying for our one. Just as you did before you went to work. Lord, help me know who I am supposed to be praying for, who I am supposed to be focusing in on. The key question I want to try to answer this morning is this. How can I pray effectively for the one that the Lord lays on my heart? How can you and I this morning pray intentionally and effectively for that one? What if your prayer, and this is a powerful thought, a powerful question, what if my prayer is the turning point in someone's eternity? Now, I'm not trying to put the guilt on us or the weight on us. I want us to feel the weight of the commission that Jesus has given to us. And I want us to feel the weight of the responsibility of sharing our faith. We need to feel that weight. But not in terms of guilt and condemnation. We're not going to be effective ministers if our message is guilt and condemnation. Or if our motivation is guilt and condemnation. No. John 3:17 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no, we're no longer, or He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Paul later on wrote, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But what if our prayers, what if us seeking God on behalf of someone else is a turning point? Now they've got to turn, they've got to receive, they've got to respond. That's not our responsibility. Amen. We can't do anything about that. Where our responsibility begins and ends is sharing our message. Amen. And so I mentioned this to you previously, but I want to share it again because it fits right here. When I was a student in college, way back in 1970, the Lord put my brother on my heart. And I decided I'm going to give one meal a day to the Lord. And instead of going to the cafeteria on that meal, I'm going to go to the prayer chapel. And I'm going to pray for my brother. I'll never forget the day. Harold, I'll never forget the day when I got the message that Gary, I wasn't going to say his name, but now it's out there. Gary had given his heart to the Lord. And I take no credit for that. Please don't misunderstand me. I didn't put a notch in my belt or, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person. You and I can pray and intercede for our one. And Jesus teaches us to be open and aware of one. And so look at Ephesians with me, chapter 6. Now we love this chapter. We like to read this chapter where it talks about putting on the armor of God. And that's good. Keep doing that. But read the scripture prior to that. Why we're putting on the whole armor of God. Because Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 6, beginning at verse 18, he says this, and pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Ramona, for mentioning the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you for mentioning the one who empowers us to do anything for God. We cannot do in the flesh what is required by the Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit for us to be able to accomplish anything for the Lord. But thank God He is in us. He is with us and He is in us. And so Paul says to the Ephesians, pray in the Spirit. That doesn't mean pray excitedly, although that's okay too. But it means pray as you are guided by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit move you. We don't know. Paul said to the Romans, we don't know how to pray as we ought. King James, you ought. As we should. I mean, I can tell you now, in my 50-something years of serving the Lord, there are times I don't know how to pray. But the promise I have from the Word of God is, in those times, the Spirit makes intercession. In words sometimes that I don't even know, I can't even utter. I can't even speak the words that the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows me. The Holy Spirit knows who I'm interceding for, and the Holy Spirit has the heart and mind of God. Praise God. And that's pretty good convergence right there. Praise the Lord. So pray in the Spirit, he says. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in your prayer. And he says, on all occasions. Not just special occasions. Not just Sunday morning, somewhere between 10:30 and 11. No. Not just at meals, and that's okay too. Not just at bedtime. No. Pray. He says, every occasion you have, pray. Pray in the Spirit in every occasion that you have with all prayers. Now, I think the NIV says with all kinds of prayers. And we know that there are different kinds of prayers. There's intercessory prayers. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of requests. You know, there's all kinds of prayers. But in whatever kind of prayer we're praying, and this morning we're talking about intercessory prayer, but what Paul's saying is it doesn't matter what the prayer is about, whatever you're praying about, pray in the Spirit with all prayers and with all requests with this in mind. I love how Paul puts this. Be alert. Be alert. Now, I can confess to you that many times I have prayed myself to sleep. Oh, yeah. That's why it's hard for me to pray in bed. No, I do it. But a lot of times when I'm praying in bed, I pray myself to sleep. But what Paul is saying here is when you and I are interceding for our one, we don't want to be asleep. We don't want to be lethargic. We want to be impassioned and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit in all manner of prayers and your requests and be alert. How does Paul tell us to pray? Pray in the Spirit. Pray about everything. Pray and be alert. Another way he said it was watch and pray. That's what I do when I'm driving. I watch and pray. Don't close your eyes when you're driving. Okay, you know. And I don't think there's really a rule. I can't find a biblical rule for closing your eyes when you pray anyway. But it's okay. You know. There's two things I've often wondered about, and this has nothing to do with my message. Why we close our eyes when we pray, and why we close our eyes when we kiss. Maybe there's some connection there. Huh? Maybe there is. I'll let you ponder that. Praise the Lord. But it's just interesting to me that the Scripture often says, and he lifted up his eyes and prayed. What a great way to pray. With your eyes lifted up. Amen. And so I don't mean to divert too far here, because we're looking at, now look at with me, verse 18 again, he says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions, and all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert. Always keep on praying. Now, let me confess something to you this morning. Yesterday, my mother-in-law, some of you met last week. My mother-in-law was lying in bed, and she said, Frank, please help me. My feet, my heels hurt. And so we had some salve we put on when her heels hurt. And not 15, 20 minutes later, maybe a half hour at the most, she calls me in again. She says, oh, Frank, please, you've got to help me. My heels are hurting. She said, I need you to pray. I said, okay, I'll pray. So I prayed and I put some more salve on her heels. A few minutes later, she calls me back in. She says, I need you to pray again. I said, Mom, I just prayed for you, and I believed what I prayed, and I prayed in earnest and all that. And she says, I need you to pray. I said, okay, I'll pray again. And I prayed again, and boom, immediately the Lord answered the prayer. Now listen, I should not have hesitated when she asked me to pray again. You know, there's people out there that teach, and I don't buy into this teaching, okay? But there are people out there that teach that you should only pray about something once. If you pray about it again, it's a lack of faith. Well, I don't believe that for a second. I believe what Paul is saying here. Continue to pray, he says. Pray, he says, keep on praying. Be persistent in your prayers. For, and one of the people he tells us to pray for is all the Lord's people. So I want to bring that to, Living Waters, okay? Here's what I believe that means. When Paul says pray for all people, he's talking about each other. Pray for each other. So you and I are in this ministry of the one together. We're focusing on this, especially this month. We're focusing on this ministry of one. So what I want to challenge us to do, and this is what I've done for you since I began this, I challenge us to pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for Nancy now that she's mentioned what she's praying about. Pray for her. The Lord will give her opportunities. Amen? And we can pray for each other. And here's what Paul said in verse 19. Pray also for me. Well, can the preacher ask for prayer? I hope so. I'll tell you, this preacher needs prayer. You know, sometimes we think preachers or pastors or ministers or whatever, that they're up on some kind of, you know, high pedestal. No, listen, we are just as human as you are and just as subject to mistakes and challenges and heartaches and problems. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest, we know who that is, Jesus Christ, who is not touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Why? Because he was tempted in all things just like we are. You see, Jesus can intercede for you and me because Jesus lived our lives. God incarnate, wrapped in flesh, experienced the pain and challenges and difficulties and frustrations and heartaches that you and I encounter. He can feel it. Those are the best intercessors. The people that can feel it. Who even are willing to feel it. Amen. And so he says, pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your ministers. Pray for your teachers. Pray for me that when I speak, you see, witnessing is speaking sometimes. I know St. Francis of Assisi said, witness always, and if necessary, use words. Well, listen, we are commanded to use words. Yes, we ought to back those words up with our lives. But pray for me, he said, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me. Oh, those are the most effective words. Those are the most powerful words. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God does not go out and come back void. You see, you and I will never fail if we will speak the Word. You see, it's not my word. It's not your word. It's His word. It's by His Word the worlds were formed. Whew, hallelujah. It's by His Word. Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh, dwelt among us, that we are saved. It's by the Word of God that anything that is accomplished for God is accomplished. Amen. So he says, pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me that I will fearlessly. Fearlessly. I think King James says boldly. That I will boldly make known the mysteries of the gospel. One of the things I would encourage you to do, one of the things that prayer does, is that it prepares you and me to speak boldly, clearly. Boldly and clearly. Not brashly. See, bold is not brash. We're not middle linebackers. No, when we're being bold, it means we know. We're clear. Our minds are clear. There's no ambiguity. We understand what we're saying. And we believe what we're saying. That's what boldness is. Have you noticed that if you're absolutely certain about something, you speak up? Have you noticed that? But when we're not really quite sure, we do things like, well, we just tell on ourselves. But you see, when I'm clear about something, that means I can be bold. And what Paul is saying is, pray for me. And what I'm challenging us to do is pray for each other that we may be bold and clear. I can't stand it when these politicians say, let me be clear. Usually means they're fixing to tell you something that probably isn't true. Let me be clear. Listen, the Word of God is clear. And Paul is saying, pray for me that when I speak, the words that I speak are fearless and they're clear and they're bold. Because what are we speaking? I spoke with you last week about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the message of the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Put in a nutshell, Jesus died. Jesus rose. And that is the only way we can be saved. Jesus Himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So we pray. We pray that our words will have impact, that we'll be fearless when we present the gospel. How can we present what we do not understand? We must understand the gospel. Oh, well, Pastor, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Okay, good. Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand? Because here's what I'm saying. If we are clear, we can be bold. If we understand, if we know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, then we can present it clearly and boldly. Make sense? Here's what Paul says. For when he says that I may make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Do you get what Paul is saying here? You see, the reason Paul's in prison, the reason Paul's in chains is from preaching the gospel. Wait a minute, Paul, you want me to pray for you so that you can keep doing what you did to end up in prison? Help me understand this. Yes, that's exactly what Paul's saying. Why? Because remember what he said to us last week? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So Paul's saying, pray for me. So that when I speak words of this mystery of the gospel, that it'll be effective. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So how does Paul say to pray? He says, pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. Be in communion with God. And then Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2 coincides with this. In Colossians 4:2, Paul says almost similarly, be persistent. Be persistent and devoted to what? To prayer. Be persistent and devoted to prayer. Being, here's that word again, alert. Being alert. And as you are alert, be focused. You see, if the enemy can't get us to sin, he'll just simply distract us. And you know what? I can be distracted by good things. But you see, we can't let the good things distract us from what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? That's why sometimes it's better when we don't, when we're praying for God to meet a need, because we're recognizing we need God. Sometimes when we've got all our needs met, we forget we need God. We are strange people. But here's what he's saying. Be persistent and devoted. I love that word. Be devoted to prayer. Be alert and focused in your prayer life. Here is how he says to do it. With an attitude of thanksgiving. Well, that certainly fits in this monthly time frame, doesn't it? But we should not only be thankful in November, for goodness sakes. No. What Paul is saying is, as you are praying for your one, do it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I almost hear Paul saying, why don't you just go ahead and thank God for answering your prayer? Whoo, hallelujah. You see, that's praying in the Spirit. That's praying in faith. Amen. Lord, I just want to thank you. It seemed to me I heard Ramona doing that this morning in her prayer. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are. You are. Hallelujah. And so what Paul is saying is that when you and I are interceding for that one that God is laying on our heart, amen, then we can do that with an attitude of thanksgiving. Can you imagine if I went to my brother after he got saved? Can you imagine this? Me going to Gary and saying, Gary, it's about time you got saved, man. I'm telling you, I was getting sick and tired of giving up all those meals and spending all that time in prayer for you. No! You kidding me? I about lost my mind. I was rejoicing. You remember how we talked a couple of weeks ago about what happens in heaven when one sinner repents? The Word says all heaven rejoices. Praise God. No, I was rejoiced. I was thankful. Thankful, Sean. Thankful. Praise God. Praise God. And so he says, devote yourselves. Be persistent. Devote yourselves. Be watchful. Stay alert. Keep your eyes and your ears and your heart open for that one. Listen. When I'm training chaplains, one of the things I talk to them a lot about is listening. See, as chaplains, we're going to hear things. And sometimes we're going to hear what they say, and sometimes we're going to hear what they don't say. Amen. And so what Paul is saying there is in your prayers and in your intercession, watch and listen. Be alert. Look for signs. Look for little indicators that they're ready. Hallelujah. Look for signs that, listen for things they say. I don't remember it real clearly. It was called the knots. The knots. Well, I'm not this, or I'm not sure, or, you know, when they start saying those kind of things, these are opportunities. So in our prayer, in our preparedness, in our prayer, we can be listening and watching. And Paul says, be alert, watchful, and be thankful. Remember the story in the Bible in Luke chapter 18 about the little widow who kept going back to the judge. She just kept going back to the judge. And the judge wasn't God-fearing. He wasn't worried about God or any of that stuff. But this woman was wearing him out. I love this story because it's almost like Jesus is saying, just wear God out with your prayers. What's that? Was it a Dottie? Was it a Dottie Rambo song? I don't remember. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. Oh. Pray pray. George Mueller was a 19th century evangelist, prayer warrior. He prayed for five of his friends to come to Christ. And the first came in the first few years, and then three more came, you know, in the decades that followed. The fifth only came to Christ after Mueller's death. Wow. That's some persistent praying. I remember hearing, this is years ago, I remember hearing Jesse Duplantis say he would go to the bar and he would just start feeling miserable, and he'd go to, back during the days of payphones, you remember those? And he would call his mother. He said, "Mom, stop praying for me. I'm trying to have a good time." How many of us are saved today because of a praying mother or a praying father or a praying grandmother or praying somebody pray? Dr. B.B. Patton, who founded Patton University in Oakland, California, and a Christian cathedral, she wrote a song that said, "Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me." That could be you. So, this story just demonstrates the persistence of prayer. And so, listen, what do we do? How can we effectively pray for our one? Pray persistently. Pray without ceasing. And secondly, pray with spiritual insight. You see, as you and I pray for our one, the Lord will give us insight. Yeah. He'll tell us things. He'll reveal things to us. He'll give us wisdom. Yeah. As we pray, He'll give us insight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And even if our gospel is veiled," or King James says hidden, It is hidden or veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here's what we need to understand from what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians. He is saying that those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord are blind to the gospel. They're blind. I had this thought this morning as I was reviewing my notes. All of us know somebody who's blind. And we don't judge them for being blind. And we don't disparage them for being blind. And we don't mistreat them for being blind. And can I tell you that those of us who are in our circles of our sphere of influence, who do not know Jesus Christ, do not need our judgment. They need our prayer. They're blind. Pray that the eyes of their understanding will be open. Amen. Their spiritual condition is that they are spiritually blind. The enemy has blinded them. And that blindness keeps them from seeing, understanding the gospel. And so we battle with them. We battle not with them, but we battle in their behalf. That God will break through the darkness. Because the Lord has translated us who believe out of darkness. Out of darkness. We were in darkness. You and I, before we believed, we were in darkness. But the Lord has translated us, transferred us out of darkness and into the kingdom of His glorious light. What a beautiful thought. Colossians 1:13 says that, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, whom He loves, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. So we celebrate, we pray. Number three, we pray with the gospel in mind. We should pray for people anyway, right? And we did this morning. We had prayer requests and we prayed for people. And that's wonderful. And we should always do that. But when I'm challenging us to pray for our one, I'm not talking about their job or their health or any. I'm not. I'm talking about their eternal soul. So pray for them. I'm not saying don't pray for those other things. I'm just simply saying we've got to focus on our prayer on their eternal salvation. Amen. And so pray with... That's what Paul is saying here in Colossians. He's saying focus your prayer on their redemption and their forgiveness. Share and celebrate the gospel message with them. God rescued us. He rescues us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of His Son. So it's not, salvation is not just about forgiveness. And thank God it is about forgiveness. Thank God we're forgiven. Amen. But it's not just about forgiveness. It's about transformation. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is past. New has begun. Praise God. It's a transformation. We can use this verse right here as a foundation for praying the gospel truth over our one. I won't reiterate the entire story of Zacchaeus. You remember the story. What I will draw from it is what Jesus said. What Jesus said about Zacchaeus is today, has salvation come to this house? Why? Because Zacchaeus responded to the presence of the Lord. Imagine a person drowning in the ocean and someone throwing them a lifeline, a buoy. That's what the gospel is. The gospel's a lifeline. And we've got to pray for our one to recognize the lifeline. God, open their eyes that they may see and that they will receive the message of the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we've got to live the life that says to somebody, I want that. I want that life. That's why we got to walk the talk. We can't just talk salvation. We got to walk the talk. We got to live it out. It's got to be real in us. So when praying, declare these truths over your one. Lord, bring them out of darkness. See, you can pray that for your one. Lord, bring them out of darkness. Jesus, reveal yourself as their Redeemer. God, grant them the gift of forgiveness. As you reflect on the gospel in your actions, ensure that you are a person who can demonstrate. Isn't that what the Word says? That your light shall shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives should be lived in a manner that attracts people to Jesus. Amen. So listen. Prayer is evangelism. Oh, Pastor, I just can't go out there and just knock on doors and cold turkey talk to people and all that. Listen to me. It all starts in prayer. When you and I are interceding for our one, we're practicing evangelism. Amen. What we're praying for is God, Help me to be fervent, pray in the Spirit. Help me to be alert. Help me to watch for every opportunity. Help me to be obedient when those doors open. when Paul was talking to the Ephesians and to the Colossians, one of the other things he said is pray that a door, this is a strange way to put this, but he says, pray that a door of utterance would be opened. What do you mean, Paul? What does that mean today? It means pray that I will have an opportunity to talk with my one about the gospel. Those windows, those doors of opportunity. That's what Paul's saying. So I encourage you. Pray for your one. Now, what I've given you, this handout that I've handed you, is a suggestion. I'm not going to take notes. You won't be graded on it. But this is a tool for you. And what it does is, how do I pray for my one? Well, first of all, you got to figure out who your one is. So our first prayer is, Father, who is my one? Lord, who is my one? Who is that one you want to lay on my heart and encourage me and empower me to intercede for? So what I would encourage you to do is right there on that paper, write their name. Whoever the Lord brings to your heart, to your mind, write their name. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking of a lot of names. And that's okay, but listen, let's start with one. Let's just start with one. Lord, lay one soul on my heart. Write the name of that person in that space. And then step two, commit to pray. Make a commitment. Only what gets scheduled gets done. We have got to commit. Use these scriptures that we've talked about today to specifically pray over your one. Ephesians 6:18, pray persistently and seek the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, ask God to remove their spiritual blindness. Colossians, pray for them to experience the transforming power of the gospel. And step three, pray persistently. Don't just pray once and, I got that covered. No. Pray persistently. And I've given you an outline, and you can put their name in there. And it just says, Lord, I ask you to move in Joe's life. Help me to remain faithful in prayer and trust your timing. And then pray with spiritual insight. Father, I know that Joe is blinded to the truth of your word. Open his eyes to see the light of the gospel and break the chains that are keeping him from knowing you. So pray with the gospel in focus. God, thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us from darkness. I pray that Joe will experience your forgiveness and become a part of your kingdom. Pray with a gospel focus. And then write their name down and keep their name in a place where you see it. A refrigerator or the mirror in your bathroom. Wherever it will confront you daily. And remind you to pray for Joe. Whoever Joe is. If your name's Joe, I'm not picking on you. But keep it visible. Pray daily. And then on the back page, be intentional and consistent. And ask God to create opportunities. Opportunities. And be alert to those opportunities for you to share Jesus' love. Build a relationship. A lot of times you're going to have to lead him. Lead them to you before you can lead them to Him. It's rare that some of us, well, we need to have a relationship is what I'm saying. Be ready to, be ready to share the gospel. Practice. I've got a tool that I'm going to give you that will help you practice presenting the gospel. And believe me, it's not rocket science or brain surgery or anything like that. It's simple. I didn't say it was easy, but I said it was simple. Okay, but practice will help you to become bold and clear. All right? So be ready to share the testimony and or invite them to church or just to have a spiritual conversation. Here's a template. Here's an example you can use. You don't have to pray this prayer, but you can start with this. That's what the Lord was doing when the disciples came to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray like John teaches his disciples to pray. And the Lord gave him what you and I call the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. Well, that's all this is. It's a template. And it simply says, Lord, I bring Joe before you today. I ask you to open Joe's heart to the truth of the gospel. Remove anything that blinds Joe from your love. Jesus, I pray you will rescue Joe from the darkness and bring Joe into the kingdom of light. Give me wisdom and boldness to share your message of hope with Joe. In Jesus' name. That's just a simple example. You can put your own words in there. Pray your own prayer and mean it from your heart. But pray for your one. And then I would recommend you keep a record of that. Keep a journal of that. Some way, record moments where you see God working in their life. Amen. You start to see changes in their attitudes, or they start asking questions. Questions are great. Don't ever be intimidated by questions. Praise God. Because questions are great door openers. Or you see anything that indicates they're moving toward faith. Opportunities for you to witness, to deepen your relationship with them. So as I close today, I challenge us. I challenge you, take your first step, commit to pray daily for your one, write their name down, put it where you'll see it, let your prayers be persistent, full of insight, and centered on the gospel. And remember this. This is so important. God is always working. Jesus Himself said this. He says, my Father is always working. God's already working. And now what God wants is for you to come alongside Him and work with Him. Work with Him. What a cool thought. We are laborers together with God. What a cool thought. Don't try to do it on your own. But as the Lord works with you, work with the Lord. When you see those opportunities, let your prayer be persistent. God is inviting you to join Him in the mission. That's why it's called a co-mission. Amen. He's asking you to co with Him, to co-mission with Him. Will you answer His call? Start today and watch how God moves through your prayers to change one life for eternity. One life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before You as humbly as we know how. We are humbled by Your grace. We are humbled by Your love. It's beyond us, Lord, how You love us. Thank You for salvation. And now the privilege to partner with You in reaching the lost. Reaching others, Lord. Reaching the unsaved. And so today, Lord, we lift up our ones. My one. Our ones. We lift them up before You. The ones that You've placed in our hearts. Help us. Help us be persistent in our prayers. Help us trust You for perfect timing. Help us be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Help us trust the power of the gospel. Because it is the power unto salvation. Help us trust the gospel, Lord. Jesus. Help us, Lord. Use us as your hands and your feet. Let your light shine through our words and through our actions, Lord. May our prayers and our efforts bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.